Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. Now here's a message from our senior pastor, Brian Bond.
All right, how's everybody doing today? Well, by this time, we've got all the kinks worked out, so this should be close to the perfect service. We're glad you guys are here today. And if you're guests, we appreciate you being here, and I want you to know we've been praying for you and working to make a spot for you. And going forward, even our fourth service that will be, our first one will be here after this one, but that will be continuing on in the days ahead. And we appreciate anybody that'd like to come to that one as well. And man, we've had a great weekend already. Last night, we had a bunch of kids here and we did an egg hunt and we gave out nearly 9,000 eggs. And you bet. And we sent home thousands of those little plastic orbs filled with sugary goodness. And, we told the parents ahead of time that you could increase the parent tax because we had so many eggs, but we appreciated everybody that helped with that. You know, today we celebrate, we're the only religion, people group, whatever, that is able to celebrate a risen Savior. You know, others have holidays for the birth or death of this guy or that guy, but our main holiday, our main celebration is that our Savior conquered death for him and for us. And what a great thing to celebrate. And so we're excited about Easter this year. And you may have noticed on the stage, we have the other two crosses. And the cross of Jesus is always central. And you may have wondered even, maybe you're not familiar with the story about why, you know, I drive around, why are there three crosses instead of just one? And there's really only like four or five verses in the whole Bible, at least in the New Testament, that talks about these other two crosses. Now, it is talked about in the Old Testament that he would be killed between thieves. And that's what happened. That's what these other two crosses represent, are the two thieves that died beside him. And there's different words that's translated on there called thieves, revolutionaries, criminals, whatever you want to call them. But they were not good people. And they'd been sentenced to death. And so they died right alongside him. And today I want us to look at those two crosses and who were on it. Because the resurrection is about proving to us that Jesus's salvation that is offered to us is real. And I want us to see how simple it is. And we're going to use a couple of tests based on what we see in this, in Luke chapter 23, if you want to turn your Bibles there right now. There's a conversation between the two thieves and Jesus. And it really, in this conversation, tells us really everything we need to know about what it means to be saved and how to be saved. And so we're going to look at that. And Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, if you'd please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Thank you. You may be seated. You know, through the years, you know, I've been a vocational minister for a number of years now. And even, you know, before that, I grew up in church and, you know, I was saved at a fairly young age. And so there would always come every now and then these new plans about how to share the gospel. And the gospel doesn't change, you know, but it is good to know how to share it. So I went through several of them. And one of them was from a pastor down in Florida. And it revolved around a question. And the question that you ask people was this. You'd say, you know, if you were to die today, which I'll be honest with you, I never thought was really a great opening to the conversation. Hey, if you were to, you know, die today, anyway, but that's how it started. But if you were to die today and God asked you, "Why should I allow you into my heaven?" what would you say? And their answer to that question would kind of lead you or direct you where to go next. And I've asked that question many times, you know, during that training and in years since, and there are all kinds of answers. You know, most of the time is some kind of variation. Well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, you know, I know I've done bad stuff, but I've done good stuff. And, you know, maybe they think the scale, you know, good stuff versus bad stuff, I'm kind of okay. Maybe I'm really close or whatever, but I'm all right. The number one answer, which has always kind of surprised me to that question, is if God said, why should I allow you in my heaven? People say, well, you know, I've never killed anybody. And I'm like, okay. I mean, that's kind of a low bar, but if that's what you think. But, you know, what they're really saying is, compared to a lot of people, I'm not that bad. And you know, so we think, okay, well, maybe that would get us into heaven. Is being, you know, hey, maybe I'm a little bit above the curve, or maybe I'm at least not as bad as that guy or whatever. But you know what? Here's the thing with the thief on the cross. He had absolutely zero positive to be able to say. I mean, he's a lifelong criminal. And not only that, his crimes have gotten so bad, they're crucifying him for them. And that wasn't like an everyday thing in Roman culture. I mean, they did that, but only when people, you know, continued to cross lines. And so he didn't have any kind of argument before God. Well, you know, I was, okay, I don't know. When God asked him, why should I let you in my heaven? What is he going to say? But here's the deal. The same thing's true for all of us. You can't earn it. You cannot earn it. There's no way that by doing good things or by being a good person or that you could ever do enough to earn your way into heaven. That's why Jesus had to come. It says in John 3:16 through 18, for this is how God loved the world. Y'all notice I got like an Easter theme colored water bottle today. I got that drip. So, if you don't know what that means, ask your kids on the way home, they'll tell you. Anywho, back to the verses. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. You see, one of the big questions you'd have to ask yourself, if you could be good enough to get into heaven, why in the world would God send his only son to die a horrible death? But he loved us. He loves us. And he loves us enough that he sent his son in the world so that anyone who believes in him would not perish. You know, one of the things that kind of fascinates me about these crosses is the same thing in some ways. How many of y'all watch March Madness, you know, all the basketball tournaments? I love watching the basketball tournaments. And one of the things that's really cool now is there'll be several games on at once. And, you know, I can look at it on, you know, whatever, however you watch TV. But a lot of times you can see all the scores and then decide which game you want to watch. I'm not interested in a game that's just started, okay, unless it's my team or something. You know, and I'm not interested in you down there and, oh, a team's winning by 30 points. But what I'm looking for is, hey, there's 2 minutes to go, a three seed's playing an 11 seed, and the 11 seed's winning by a point. I'm like, dude, I want to see this. Because maybe somebody is going to have like the moment of their life where they're going to have an opportunity. You know, it comes down so many times to you got 5 seconds left and there's one shot and your team's down by a point or you're down by two and you got to take a three. But they come down and boom, guy shoots it and one of two things happens. Boom, he clanks it off the back of the rim. Or swoosh, and buzzer goes off. Everybody goes crazy. This person has, I mean, they're famous now. And I love watching those moments. And one of the things that fascinates me about these two guys on these crosses is this. They've lived their whole lives behind. They've been destined for hell nearly their whole life. And yet, at the very last moment, while the death sentence is being carried out, while they're being crucified, one of them changes his eternal destiny and is told by Jesus, today you'll be with me in paradise. Just like that, he went from being destined to hell to being destined for heaven. And so what is it that made that happen? He didn't earn it. He didn't do a thing. There was nothing good he could point to. And so you can't earn it. Romans 3, 22 through 24. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So here's the thing. Some of y'all are like, well, you know, I mean, I get it. The thief, you know, he had nothing. I mean, he's been sentenced to death, but I'm better than that dude. I mean, okay, I get it. Maybe I need Jesus, but I mean, I got pretty close. I just need a little bit to get me over the hump to be saved. I mean, I just need Jesus to kind of give me that little bit of push. But you know what this verse says? This is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. You see, what that means is if you've sinned, you've knocked yourself out of being able to go to heaven. Because the wage of a sin, and you know, I know we're thinking, well, you know, I mean, I know the, I mean, surely there's like a point system, like, oh, you did that sin? Well, that's 50 points. That's bad. That's bad. But all I've done are like these 5 point or less sins. But guess what? The penalty for each one of those is the same. It's death and separation from God. And so the only way you can pay the penalty for your own sin is by dying and going to hell for eternity. That's the only way. You can't fix it on your own. And so we've all fallen short. None of us are any closer to heaven than that guy was, because we were under the same penalty of separation from God as he was. And the other guy too, because we've sinned. And you might, well, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, hey, God is absolutely fair. And here's what he tells us. Everyone who sins, everyone sins, and everyone falls short. But you want to know about fair? God did for us something that we couldn't do. Here's how fair God is. Instead of saying, well, y'all all got to pay the penalty for your sin, I'm going to send my only son. And he's going to pay the price. He's going to die the death that you should have died. So guess what? I'm going to gift you. I'm going to give you something you didn't deserve. If you will believe what I've done, who my son is, I will wipe out all the penalty of your sin. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. None of us earned it. God did it for us because we couldn't do it for ourselves. So here's the thing. Don't be crying out, well, God, that's not fair. You're right, it's not. It's not fair that Jesus had to die for something I did. It's not fair that Jesus had to die for something you did, but he did anyway. And grace is when you receive something that you didn't earn. It is by his grace that we're saved through faith. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Jesus freed us. You see, the moment that we believe, the moment we accept in faith, what Jesus did for us, we've been freed. We're freed from our sins in that moment. And it's amazing to me that in a few seconds, this guy went from being a criminal, dying on a cross where he should be, to the God of the universe, because Jesus was God. He was God and man, saying, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't earn it. Because you can't earn it. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So you don't even get to say, well, I chose to believe. It is a gift. It's like if somebody came along and said, hey, I'm going to give you a brand new truck or sports car, whatever it is you'd like. Somebody like, I don't want a truck. Then whatever car you'd want. You don't get to go around saying, well, I chose to accept this truck. So I earned it. I chose to take it. It was a gift. You didn't pay for it. You didn't earn it. Someone gave it to you. Salvation is a gift from God. It is by grace that comes when we believe. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. God doesn't go, oh, you know, they got close. Let's give them the rest of it. You weren't close. None of us were. The moment you sinned, you earned death and hell. Because God's holy, and he's righteous, and he is just. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, I don't want to say, you know, it is important that we do good things after we're saved. There's a reason why we do that. It says in Matthew 7, 16 through 20, you can identify them by their fruit, that is the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So in other words, people will know that you belong to Christ by the way that you live. So we ought to live in such a way. It says in one place, it says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. We don't do good works so we can say, hey, look how good I am. We do good works so we can say, God is good in me, but I did nothing to deserve it. This happens because God changed me, because God empowers me by his Spirit to do good things. It's because he's shown me what love is, so I love others. It brings glory to him. So we ought to do that so people can see that we're Christians and glorify our Father who's in heaven. 1 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has begun. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And so as we go about and we show who we are now, it is so people can see that we're different, that there's a new life. One of the greatest testimonies, one of your best times to be able to share Christ with people is when you come to know Jesus and they get to see a changed life right in front of them. And so it's important that we do things. It's important that we do good works. It's important that we follow God. But don't think, you don't pay God back. All the good things you do, you might, well, you know, I've done, as some of us who've been believers for a while, we might struggle with that question a little bit. Why should God allow you into my heaven? Well, you know, I've been faithful. I've done this. I go to church. But let me tell you something. Any answer you have to that question that starts with I, anytime that question is, what have you done? Why should I let you into my heaven? If your answer starts with I, it is wrong. Because it should always start with he or Jesus. Because here's the deal. You didn't do anything to earn it before, and you don't do anything to earn it afterwards. All those things that you do afterwards, now, they're important. There are rewards in heaven for how faithful we are. There are. But none of that has anything to do with salvation. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years. You're the same as that thief. You needed Christ. It was your only hope. It was your only answer. You can't pay it back. You know, so none of us go, well, I'm a pretty good person now. That's That should give testimony to what God can do, not what we've done. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord. And in Romans 3, 27 through 28, can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. So here's the deal. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to be made right with God. And that also is different from any other religion or religious system in the world. There are all kinds of things. Oh, you know, throughout our history, throughout the history of man, God put eternity in the hearts of men. So there's something in every culture, there's some kind of vision about what the afterlife is. And then what goes along with that is there's some kind of recourse about how to get there. What do you have to do? And it's always about something we do. The true gospel is there's nothing we can do. It's only Jesus. And there's nothing that we can do after. You know, there's some that'll tell you that, you know, well, you gotta believe in Jesus and then be baptized and then you're saved. What about that guy? He didn't get baptized. Now, I love baptisms, don't get me wrong. We baptized a young girl last night, and we're going to baptize one at the end of this service. I believe it's this service. Which service is this? It's at 11 o'clock. It's been a long, fruitful, and glorious weekend, but I'm getting a little confused in my head. You know what I'm saying? But we're going to baptize somebody after this service. And it's awesome because it's a testimony. When somebody goes down in that water and comes back out, it's like it's as though they're dying. It's a testimony. They've died to self, and now there's a new life in Christ. They're born again. It tells the whole world what Jesus did in our hearts. But if baptism would save you, we wouldn't have had all these Easter services. We wouldn't have done an egg hunt. We wouldn't have done all that stuff. We would have said, all right, everybody in our church has got like a one-ton truck. We got some trucks in our church. Bring them up here, and we're going to hook up a flatbed trailer, and we're going to put a big thing of water on the back, and we're going to get all our biggest, burliest dudes in our church, and we're just going to go all over town, and we're going to see somebody, and the burly dudes are going to go over and say, hey, I love you, and they're going to grab them, throw them up on the trailer in the water, and I'm going to go, you're saved, thank you, and happy Easter. If that's what it took, we would do whatever it took to see people come to know Christ. If it was people I loved, I'd invite them over to my house for dinner. And unbeknownst to them, right inside the door, I'd have a big tub. And they'd come in, and they'd go, hey, psh, and I'd dump them. Hey, I love you. You're saved now. Let's eat. If that's what it took, that's what we do. Baptism doesn't save you. It is by grace through faith. It's what Jesus did on the cross. And so don't get me wrong. Baptism is important. We ought to follow Christ. It's our first act of obedience. It's a testimony to the rest of the world about what Jesus has done in our hearts, but it doesn't save you. And so one of the ways you can know, when you hear somebody and they're saying, hey, this is what we believe about being saved. If they say grace, that's a gift from God that comes by faith that we believe, plus something else, it's not the gospel. Because there ain't no pluses after that. It's grace through faith. It's God's gift. We believe in it. We're saved. It's that simple. And anybody that adds something to that is not preaching the gospel of Jesus. And so you can't earn it. You ought to live and do good works, but you can't earn it in reverse either. But one of the things I love about, and, you know, Jesus doesn't ever say anything by accident. And what he said to the thief was, I assure you, today you'll be with me in paradise. You notice what he didn't say? He didn't say, well, dude, you know, you're pretty close to the end. As long as you don't hit some big bad sin between now and then, you're going to be in heaven. He didn't say anything like that. He didn't say anything about, well, you know what? If you can just make it a little bit longer. He said, I assure you this, and at that moment, I assure you you're going to be with me in paradise. It's true in the whole totality of Scripture. It teaches you can't lose what you couldn't earn. Once you're saved forever. I assure you, you'll be with me. And I want to read to you from Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Now that's an important passage, but I want you to understand the background in which that's being taught. Paul is a natural born Roman citizen. He was born a citizen of Rome by birth. Okay. And he is speaking to Christians who live in Galatia. Galatia is a province of Rome. It's been a province for about 60, 70 years. And even before that, it was under Roman rule. But when it became a province, that's when they moved into all the rights of Roman citizens. They're now part of the empire, not just being ruled by the empire. Okay? And so they're subject to all the laws. And they would understand this passage would mean more to them because of the culture and the laws in which they were brought up. You notice it says right off the bat, born of a woman subject to the law. Well, here are the differences and why this matters so much of who it was that was hearing this and where it was coming from. Roman law had some very specific things about adoption. Now, in Israel, adoption was a rare thing. It was a rare thing, okay? But in Roman culture, it was very common. You know, kids would move off. Some people didn't have kids. Maybe their kid would die off or you know, maybe they just said, hey, Dad, Mom, Dad, I don't want anything to do with you, whatever, and went off. And here's the deal. By Roman law, a son inherited everything. The son inherited it all. And you couldn't write a will that said, hey, I want to give it to, you know, my friend Joe next door when I die or whatever, you know, or like we do in our culture, give it to a dog or something that's crazy. I don't know. You couldn't do any of that. By law, it didn't matter whether you had a will. It didn't matter what you wanted. Your child was your heir. But here's the deal. Here's what you could do. If you didn't like, you know, maybe you didn't have natural children or you didn't like, you know, they rebelled against you or maybe they were just gone, whatever. You could adopt someone that you wanted to be your heir. And so it was common in Roman culture for people to adopt, even adults. Sometimes they would even adopt a slave, you know, who had become a beloved, loyal member of their household. And here's the thing, you know, there was a book written about it by the guy who was the governor of New Mexico after World War II, and it's called Ben-Hur. Y'all ever heard of that? There's been movies about it. And I think there was a recent one, but the only authorized movie is the one by that has Charlton Heston in it. So anyway, y'all don't even know who that is, do you? Golly. Get some culture, people. But this book is about, and the movie is about, a Jewish slave. And he's an oarsman. He rows in a Roman boat. That's all he does. He's a slave. And the boat is shipwrecked. And he rescues a guy who's a Roman soldier, Roman commander. And he saves his life. And in return, the Roman commander adopts him as his son. And so all of a sudden, he's not a slave anymore. He's a Roman citizen. And he's this man's son. And because of Jewish law, or Roman law, excuse me, he's now the heir to everything that he has. And so in this movie, he goes and it's the way it's talking about how he adapts to this new life. And there's a second thing about Roman law. You could choose anyone and adopt them, but once you chose them, you could never disown them. They were your heir no matter what. And so that's the background that's behind this passage and Paul using adoption to illustrate to the Galatians, because they would have gone, oh. So I'll read it to you again, knowing that. When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. You know, one of the things in that passage, it says he's prompting us to call out Abba, Father. And that word Abba, it's an Arabic word, and it's a term of endearment, like our word daddy. It says, you can call me father or daddy in the most intimate sense now because you're my child. You know, through the years, my kids have invited a lot of, you know, they've had friends over to our house a lot of times. And sometimes they'll come in and, you know, maybe they go to our church and they're like, you know, they need to ask me a question or something. And on occasion they've asked me, you know, Pastor Braxton's dad, father, Mr. Bond, what should I call you? And I'll just tell, you know, just call me Brian or call me, you know, Mr. Bond or whatever you want, Mr. Brian, I don't care. But I, you know one thing I've never told them? I've never said, hey, just call me daddy. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? I mean, they'd probably go, okay, daddy can have some money. I don't know. But that would be weird. See, that is reserved for my children. And so when they say daddy, they're the ones that are allowed to say that. Because I'm their father and they're my child. And when you become a child of God, it's forever. Not only that, but you've become an heir. And we're going to inherit along with Jesus the new world and the new heaven and the new earth that's going to come after everything's finished. We're going to inherit all that with him. And just like with that, even though he didn't have a whole lot of time, you can't mess that up. Now, you can disobey God in the in-between. Matter of fact, you can do things that make you go, man, how could I have done that? But you cannot sever that relationship between you and God. Number one, you didn't do anything to earn it, so you don't get to say. It was given to you. God said he made you right with him. He did all the work. He has now sent us the spirit of his son into our hearts. He adopted you as his child, as his son or his daughter. It says in John 10, 27 through 30, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. You know, the parable of the prodigal son, that's about a son, not about a stranger who becomes a son. It's about a son who acts like a stranger for a while and does as offensive a life as you could live to his father. But when he comes back, he says, look, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And his dad just like, I paraphrased that part. That's not actually in the Bible. I'm not even exactly sure how you'd spell that anyway, but some of y'all would know. He said, look, he calls the servants, says, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him. Kill the fatted calf, my son. He was lost, but now he's found. But guess what? He was a son the whole time. This is not a parable about somebody that doesn't know God coming to know him. This is a parable about a son. And there's nothing you can do. Once you're in God's hand, you're there forever. Now, there's some in through history that try to say, well, if you know, this sin right here would be, you know, every time it's come up, and there have been several times when You know, suicide has touched all of us at one point or another. And people ask, is that, does that mean they're not going to heaven? No, it doesn't mean that at all. If they knew Jesus, they're going to heaven, period. Because there's no sin that can, that is greater than God's forgiveness that has already been extended to those who know him. Now, the second part of this, and this is the important part. You know, I'm about to, because some of y'all, you don't know how you'd answer that question. You're not sure. And maybe some of the answers I've given today would have been the answer you gave, and that's okay. I understand that. But what I want to do is we're going to give everyone here, anyone who does not have a relationship with Christ, and I want to make it clear again, it's not about what you do. One of the things Jesus said very clearly, he said, in that day, and this is the last days, many will say to me, hey, didn't we do all these things in your name? And Jesus says to them, away from me, I never knew you. It's about knowing Jesus. Now, the thief, it's not like he had 20 years of knowing Christ. It all happened in a few minutes. And at the beginning of the day, it says in Matthew, he was ridiculing Christ like everybody else was. So at some point in there, he came to understand this man's not like us. And he came to believe. And so I want you to see how it is. If you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know that you are in that right spot with God, that you have peace with him, if you're not sure your sins have been forgiven, I want to show you through this man's a way you can know and that you can be saved and you can begin a relationship with Christ. And it really, it is so simple. The first thing you got to do is admit you're a sinner for all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. Here's what the thief did. He said, look, don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. He admits that he's a sinner. He's not hiding it. He didn't say, hey, Jesus, I shouldn't be up here. It's a big mistake. Could you get me down? He said, look, we deserve this. And guess what? All of us are that guy. We all deserve to die and be separated from God because of our sin. We said the same thing he did. I have sinned. Now, the second thing is you got to believe that Jesus is God's son, that he died on the cross for our sins. Now, you're like, well, you know, Jesus wasn't even dead yet. Let me tell you know how he did this. He said, look, this man hasn't done anything wrong. He realizes he doesn't know the whole plan. He can't go through the plan of salvation. There's no way he could. If he got to heaven, he said, well, could you explain to us the doctrine of justification? He had no idea. He just knew he was a sinner. And he knew Jesus was dying not for his sins, that he was innocent. So you got to know that Jesus is God's son. How did he say he was God's son? Well, he said, look, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that brings us to the third part. You got to confess Jesus as Lord. When he said that, he was confessing that Jesus was God, that he had something beyond that life, and that he was a king. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And we have to confess Jesus as Lord. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, look, this thief didn't know everything. You don't have to know everything to come to Christ. You just got to know you're a sinner, that he's the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he rose, and that you confess him as Lord. It's really that simple. And you know, doesn't it kind of amaze you? It had to amaze him. He spent his whole life rebelling against the law. And now at this point in the crucifixion, he has basically minutes left to live. And yet in those minutes, he's that close to going to hell for all eternity. That close. And yet he comes to a saving knowledge of Christ right there on the cross. I just find that amazing. You know what else is equally daunting, I guess, is to know that this guy right here was that close to being saved for all eternity, and he missed it. He was that close. And there's some of you today that, you know what? You're that close. You're that close to salvation, and you're that close to missing it. And it's up to you. And you know, there's people that, well, you know, I need to go clean up my life, and then I'm going to come to Jesus. The thief couldn't go fix anything. It's not about going and fixing. You can't go back and, well, I'm going to make it where I have to get less saved. It doesn't work that way. You can't clean up enough. You come as you are. Now, when Christ comes in you, there'll be change afterwards. That happens, and it should. But you come to him as you are. And then there's, well, you know, maybe later. I know I need to do that, and maybe down the road somewhere, maybe later on in life, maybe a few weeks. But here's the deal. Those guys knew they didn't have any extra time. We don't know if we have extra time. We don't know if we have a few years or a few months or a few days or whatever. We don't know. But you're this close right now. And the Bible says very clearly, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And I get saying, well, you know, maybe later. That's not, you're thinking, well, that's saying no. It's the same thing as saying no. And you may have good intentions, but you may never be this close again. You may never hear it where God allows you to understand it like you understand it today. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Over and over again, it says that in the scripture. It never says, hey, maybe next month or maybe a year from now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for salvation. Now's the day. Today is the day. So don't get that close and walk off. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead anyone who would like to in a prayer of salvation in just a moment. And we're going to go through those. We're going to pray basically those three things. We're going to admit we're sinners. We're going to confess faith in Jesus. And we're going to confess him as Lord. It is by grace you are saved through faith. And these aren't magic words that if you just repeat the words. But if you believe, you'll be saved. Just like that guy was. And so if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to know that your sins are forgiven, if you'd like to know that you're at peace with God, you're in right relationship with him, and if you'd like to know that you are going to be his forever, I want you to pray this with me. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes, please. And if you would like to be, if you'd like to pray that with me today, you want to know that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with God, you pray it with me right now. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me. And thank you for Jesus. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and my life. I believe Jesus is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe he rose on the third day. So today, I trust Jesus as my Savior. And I confess him as my Lord. Lord, I believe. Now here's all I'm going to ask from you today. With every eye still closed and every head bowed, I want to pray for those of you who prayed that prayer today and you believed it. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. And so I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to call you out in any way. But if you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, I want you to look up at me for just a moment till I see you. Look up right now and keep looking, because I want to encourage you and pray for you. Okay? All right? All right, I see you. Okay? All right? Okay? All right? Okay? All right, I got you. All right? Okay? All right? Okay, I see two right there. Okay. I want to tell you, if you prayed that prayer in that moment, all right, I see you in the back, sorry. In that moment, just as that thief, his destiny was changed, yours was too. The God of the universe has granted you freedom from your sin, and you now belong to him. I want to pray for you and encourage you, and we'd love to hear from you. There's a number on the screen. You can just text SAVED if you prayed that prayer to that number, or there's a QR code there. It's also in the bulletin if you'd rather take it home and do it later. But we'd love to respond to you and set up a time to talk, either on the phone or in person, so that we can encourage you, answer any questions, and talk to you about the next steps in following Jesus. If you need a Bible, you can just let us know. When we get in touch with you, we'll get you one. If you don't have one you understand, we'll get you a Bible you can understand. No cost to you. We'd love to just give you one. And we'll encourage you to find a church, and you're welcome to come here, but if you go somewhere else, we're okay with that. We love you, though, and we'd love to talk to you and encourage you either way. We're not going to ask anything from you. We just want to encourage you. And so as beginning that, I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love and your mercy and kindness. I thank you for those that have come today to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you continue to speak to them, that Father, you continue to show them your way. And Father, I thank you for the burden and the guilt of sin that has been lifted from their shoulders because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Father, I pray blessings upon them. I pray you'd lead them to the right church, whether it's here or somewhere else. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of their day of salvation. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. You can find links to topics and scriptures discussed in this episode by looking at the show notes. You can find more information online at greenwood.church. If you have any questions or comments, please send an email to info@greenwoodbc.com.